You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
The way university studies have been organized, global warming and capitalism sound like the headings of two different and disconnected courses. But for Fred Magdoff, a professor emeritus in plant and social science at the University of Vermont, such a disconnection is an obstacle to human survival. For him, to understand the connection between the capitalist economic system and the climate emergency we face opens the door to human survival. To discuss this connection, we've contacted Fred Magdoff in Vermont prior to his upcoming speaking visit to Vancouver. Good morning, Fred, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio and the Red Eye program.
Good morning to you.
Now, you've co-authored a book which starts with something called the Impossibility Theorem. Could you explain a little bit about who put that forward and what it means?
Well, it was it's I think first enunciated by Herman Daly in that form. He's a professor at the University of Maryland, and essentially it says something that's fairly self-evident, or it should be, that we can't have infinite growth on a finite planet, that is, a planet with finite resources. And that includes both non-renewable resources, which by definition, once you've used them up, they are not renewable. They're just there and are not being created anew. And it includes also, though, renewable resources, because though there's only a finite amount of them, you can't keep using more and more and more of them, because even if they are renewable, like the fish in the sea, we know from experience that if you harvest too many, you can actually deplete and in some cases perhaps even eliminate the stocks. So that's essentially the theorem, that a system that propels growth forever and ever is incompatible with the physical and biological limitations of the planet, that we only have one planet.
So with that in mind, it's nonetheless the case that the current situation of environmental degradation is not the first time we've seen this in human history. Plato wrote about it in ancient Greece, but what's different this time round?
Well, yes, it's true, of course, that there has been environmental degradation by human activity in previous cultures and previous civilizations. I think what's new is that, well, first off, we do have more people on the planet. We have technologies which enable us to do damage or do things more quickly and more extensively. We also have an economic system that is capitalism, which essentially has to grow. And if it doesn't grow, it's in crisis. And so when you put those together with the new technologies, the ability to do activities such as mining or whatever you can think of, production of some goods, more quickly, more of them, and we have more people on the earth, etc. You put it all together, and you have a combination in which it is quite unique in our human experience.
When we talk about environmental dangers, and someone brings up the capitalist economic system, more often than not, we're likely to be told, well, capitalism, with its inventiveness, provides the solution for environmental crises rather than creates them. Why do you reject that idea?
Well, there is no... how do I put it? There is no solution, in my opinion, within the capital system to the current crisis that's facing us, that's facing the world I'm talking about. There's no question that capitalism is very inventive, but the inventions that it comes up with many times are more destructive than what it was faced with previously. I mean, just taking a look at an example that something that Canadians know full well is, you know, as oil prices went up and people were talking about peak oil and the conventional sources of oil were being perhaps starting to decrease, certainly in the United States and a few other countries, the wonderful, you know, system, with all its inventiveness, that came up with ways to hydraulically frack shale, to exploit the tar sands in Alberta, and so you have technologies developed which are actually more damaging than the older technologies. So they're dealing with a problem which is inadequate supplies or potentially inadequate supplies of a particular resource, and so they go to other technologies which allow them to get a hold of that resource. But the problem is that it's causing more environmental damage than the old system. And this happens in other areas also. It's not just in oil.
One of the dynamics of the impossibility theorem is that we can't continue to expand population and expect to find the resources available to sustain that that population. How does capitalism accentuate that dilemma with regards to population explosion, population growth?
Well, there's no question that the more people there are on the planet, the more potential there is for damage to occur. However, there was an estimate made by the World Bank that of the resources being used in the world, about 60% of the resources are being used by the wealthiest 10% of the people in the world. So the problem with regard to the environment isn't the very poor people. I'm talking now about the global environmental problems, such as climate change, which is not the only one, of course. But the poor people, the poorest 2 billion people, if somehow they disappear tomorrow, you know, by some humane way, we said they had never been born, and they disappear tomorrow, it would not really affect the damage that's being done to the global ecosystem at all, because most of that damage is being done by really the consumption patterns of the very wealthy people and the not so very but fairly wealthy people. And so the top 10% using 60%, the next 10% using maybe another 15%, so you got about 3/4 of the resources of the world being consumed by a relatively, 20%, a minority of the world's population by far. So population itself isn't the issue. The issue that involves population is there are too many rich people consuming too much. It's not that the poor people are consuming too much, it's that the rich people are consuming too much. So I think that population is sort of a dead end. With regard to this issue, because there's something to it, but it really doesn't explain why the damage we're having now is so severe.
When we look at all the bright minds at work trying to halt environmental degradation, there seem to be very few among them who seriously think that human survival requires that we abandon a capitalist structure of our society. How do you explain that these very intelligent people seem not to grasp what you regard as a central part of our survival?
Well, I think the system, the capitalist system, has become so much a part of people in the same way that that fish, I'm sure, don't think about the water they're swimming in. And we don't really think on a regular basis about the air we breathe. We just breathe it in and breathe it out, unless, you know, we're living in a very polluted area. It just sort of becomes something that we take for granted, that we become acculturated to, and this sort of is the system. And so when you have people who you're absolutely right, these are some very good people, very good thinkers, very good from a humanitarian point of view also, and they consider themselves, and I think rightfully so, to be out-of-the-box thinkers, you know, who think broadly out of the normal boxes that constrains our thinking. But there's one box they can't get out of, and that's the box of the economic system in which we live, which is capitalism. And I think it's just become so ingrained in people's lives that it's inconceivable to think of something else. There is a saying that goes, you know, that most people can more easily imagine the end of the world than they can the end of capitalism. That the world could be destroyed, but that capitalism could not be, you know. And I think there's a lot to that. I think I've talked to many environmentalists, and I think this is, and good ones, I mean very good ones, and I think this is a major stumbling block, that the unquestioning devotion to the economic system, even those that understand that there are problems with the system, what they want to do is tinker with it as opposed to change it.
Given the urgency posed by global warming, is there time to focus our energy on overcoming capitalism?
Well, I think you need to have two different tacks that you take at the same time. And one is to try to do everything we can to slow things down now. And this, you know, demonstrations against the pipeline, the XL Keystone pipeline in the United States are very important. We have the pipeline which goes through Vermont, which used to bring oil from, or still does, I guess, at least one of the lines, from the coast of the United States, from Maine up to Canada. They want to reverse the flow and bring the oil from the tar sands to the main coast in order to ship it out to refineries. And so there are demonstrations against that, too. There are many other things that we can fight for, such as Jim Hansen has a suggestion of that we have a carbon tax, but that the money be given back, all that 100% of the money, go back to people on a per capita basis. So that means that poor people would not suffer. As a matter of fact, they might make out quite well because they generally consume less, and they would get the equal amount of this carbon tax rebate. It would go back equal per person, so that people who use less, which are generally the poorer people, would actually make money off of it. So it's not discriminatory. And something like that is also, you know, is something that we can talk about and try to fight for. So that I think that we need to fight the fight for here and now issues. But I think also, you know, coal plants or trying to stop coal trains or things like that. But I think that if we don't start talking to people, ourselves and other people who are concerned about the environment, about the economic system which really propels this damage forward, then I think we're looking at Band-Aids, and we have to do what we can do in the here and now. But the reality is, if we're ever going to get to a ecologically sound world, it's not going to be with a capitalist system.
Well, thanks very much for joining us this morning, Fred.
Very good. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Fred Magdoff. He's Professor Emeritus in Plant and Soil Science at the University of Vermont and co-author of a book called What Every Environmentalist Needs to Know About Capitalism. And a week from Monday, that's on September 23rd, Fred Magdoff and Jane Stirk, of former leader of the Green Party, will discuss the climate emergency and exchange perspectives on fighting global warming. And the discussion will be at Simon Fraser University downtown, 515 West Hastings, in the Fletcher Challenge Room. And the meeting's organized by the Vancouver Eco-Socialist Group.